Good afternoon, folks. This is Carolyn Evers and our delightful friend, Charlene McNeil. Hi,
Hello,
Charlene.
Hello, everybody.
For those of you who might not have listened to this show before, we always have new people on board. Kind of like to give you a little ideas to what we do. Charlene, do you care to give a bird's eye thumbs thumbnail sketch of what you do?
Well, actually, I take the individual that wants to change something that's in their life, and we go in and go into the God's energy field and start having a chance to have that changed, whatever it is that isn't working in your life, and God will change the frequency for what it's operating now, and he'll change it to a frequency that will support you and help you so that you'll move forward in the way that you want to operate now rather than in the past pattern.
How about giving us an example?
Well, I was thinking about the one with poverty. You know, a lot of people have had, let's say that you had a past life or maybe in your ancestral line, there was poverty. If there was people that were in the Depression or in the war or something like that, when there was deep depression of a lack of either money or food, then what will happen is that ends up being in your cell memory, in your DNA, and also in a past life memory. And so sometimes in order to make your finances work for you, God will go in and help eliminate those memories that are in your cells and then put in new memory, which is I am abundantly blessed. Money is God in action. He'll pull out the oath of poverty. There was many people that in their past life or ancestral line that made a note of poverty. In other words, they gave all of their substance either to the church or to the king or royalty. So what it does is it makes it just puts a real damper on us being able to move forward financially because of that memory that's in there.
Of course, there were a lot of nuns and monks and priests in past lifetimes, too, that would have taken oaths of poverty.
Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
So it might not be something that is close to us by way of years, like the Depression, but, you know, it could go back several hundred years.
Yeah, really. In fact, a lot of times it does go back, but what he'll do is go in and eliminate that information that is in there and put in new information.
Mm-hmm.
So that it works for you in this present time. He'll also sometimes, like for instance, I had one lady that was going to college and just about 2 months away from graduating, and then all of a sudden she just was failing. And I had the professor call and say, would you take her and let's see what's happening, because she was doing fine. Well, it took, you know, a couple of times or so for us to, I finally said to her, what was it your mother used to say about learning? And she said, oh, my mother used to say, oh, you're too dumb to learn anything. So on a subconscious level, as soon as the subconscious saw that she was going to graduate and have that degree, the subconscious put her into sabotaging it. So once that was redone and reprogrammed in the subconscious, she went ahead and graduated from college. But it was kind of interesting that was so prevalent there that the subconscious was still being in charge of her graduating from college.
Well, even if you're not familiar with these concepts, I think all of us know on some level that we can sabotage ourselves.
Yes, definitely.
Either we can sabotage ourselves or people who are in our, that we're in a relationship with or in their household. In our household, so we can be sabotaged in many ways.
Well, because I call it the sphere of understanding, and the reason I call it that is it is what we understand. It's what we learn as we're growing up. And a lot of times that's passed on from one generation to another. We get used to saying the same thing as our parents said, and our parents say what their parents said, and it gets passed on. But if it's a real negative about an individual, it's very hard for a person to have good self-esteem and to be able to recognize the fact that you really can be the creator of your life and move forward in creating it in a positive way once God goes in and rearranges the vibrational frequency of the words and the thought patterns that you've created in this lifetime.
You know, it's so true. As children, our parents have great influence on us. And we grow up and we don't always realize that we're reflecting our parents' opinions, our parents' experiences, and not really coming into our own. Not using our own, but
really
following the past. I call that replaying past tapes. We have a tape of something
that's
we learned.
That's a good way to put it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we had a tape that we learned as a child, and we keep reusing it, and we don't know actually that we are doing this. It's just becomes a habit.
Well, it becomes of what we understand, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And so that's a good way of putting it, is a tape we put on and we play over and over. But sometimes we're sabotaging our life. We don't recognize why we're not moving out of it. And so a lot of times we'll set goals for ourselves, and then we think, well, 2 weeks into setting the goal, it hasn't been achieved. And that's because we haven't changed enough of the belief system, either in a past life or DNA or, like you say, in our lifetime growing up. I have a lot of people will say, oh, I'm so concerned now about what I've done to my children. I said, oh, you know, everybody has, and God will give them a chance to resolve it. So you got to trust that he'll do it for you.
True.
Because, you know, right now a lot of people are really very concerned about their finances, and if we go into fear, then we create the fear. So the important thing is to trust that God's in charge here, and he'll help us work it out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he didn't send us here to fail.
No. And getting to the things that I do, I work with those on the other side, and what I mean by that is contacting masters. Actually, people who have transitioned. I didn't tell you this story, but I had called this lady. Her husband had just recently passed away, and I could see him there. I'm talking to her, but I could see her husband who had just passed away. And so I asked her, I said, do you feel your husband around you? And she says, oh, yes, I was just in the kitchen now, talking to him. And so I told her how he was standing there, and he had a red rose in his hand and wanted to for me to tell her that he was offering this red rose, and with it was a box of chocolates in a heart-shaped box like we give on Valentine's Day. And she says, oh, that was his favorite flower, and he always gave me flowers. And on Valentine's Day, he would come with a box of chocolates and roses. And it was such a confirmation. And he said to her, enjoy the children. Don't grieve over me. That this is just a natural part of life. And when it's your turn to come to this side, I will be there next to you, and you just put your hand in mine, and you will be with me. And this was so beautiful for her to hear this. And actually, it's the sort of things that all of us can really do if we work with this. But it's something that I do, being able to see relatives and friends who have crossed over, and I also read Akashic records for people and do conference calls with Lord Metatron, for instance. So we have a wide area of things that we work with. Charlene, something that I wanted to mention to people before they start calling in. We talked about it earlier, about how we go into the physical body and we find out information about our body. And in working with some people, I have found that the body never lies. And you can ask the body what it needs, and it will give you this message. And I was thinking, Charlene, how we look at cosmetics on in advertising, or we look at different recommendations for taking herbs and different products. We have these things in front of us so often. And I got to thinking, instead of buying different things and trying them out, why not ask your body if this is the thing that your particular body would feel that it supported it? And I thought how fascinating it is. Why don't we just go in, ask our body about pains, what's causing the pain, where it came from, the different products, food. You know, we have food allergies. Ask the body what it's allergic to. And so I started thinking of all of these different possibilities that we could, that methods that we could use, not methods, but questions that we could ask our body. And so I wanted to discuss this with the audience first and give them some insight as to how to take your consciousness, put it on the inside of your body, and ask, get this information. And so how you get in your body with your consciousness is you relax, of course, and then follow either through your imagination or your senses some part of the body that is working. For instance, we all know how a heart beats. We've seen this. And so if we think about it and then think about our own heart, we go into the body, and it is a sensation that you get of moving into the body. You can actually feel it. Another way of getting there easy is the breath. You can feel your breath coming in and out of your nose, and you can sense the air going into your lungs. And so if you follow that with your consciousness, you will be there. And then you start asking your questions. For instance, we talked about food allergies. Am I allergic to peanuts? Somebody might have had some allergies and they don't know if it's peanuts. They want to rule that out. And you ask that question and the body responds. And so what I want to suggest, if there's anybody out there who might want us to walk you through this, give us a call here. We have a new number, 888-815-9756. And if you have something that you wish to change in your life, a healing, maybe find some prosperity, give us a call and talk to Charlene. Again, the number here is 888-815-9756. We can have some fun with this, I think, Charlene.
I'm sure.
I just bought two different cosmetics, and they're okay. I really can't complain about them, but I thought to myself, my golly, if I would have gone in and discussed this with my body first, I might not have bought them.
Well, the body really, each one of ourselves have its own intelligence. I said, you know, the eyes don't ever get mixed up with the ears. The cells in the eyes know just exactly what their intent is. And so does the ears and the eyes each have their separate intelligence. And so if you ask that intelligence of the cells, they'll usually respond, or you can tell the cells exactly how you want them to respond. Because right now they're responding the way they assume you think it's right. So then we have to go in and readjust the belief system that the cells have and put them back to the God intelligence.
Well, I've mentioned this to you before, but in case people who are on the line listening might not have heard this, I'd like to repeat it because I do think that it's fascinating. And the demonstration, just how much cells do communicate with one another, I think shows up very well at conception. You have part of a cell from the male, part of a cell from the female. They come together, so you have one cell. And out of that one cell, it multiplies. But in that multiplication, there is this intelligence that some cells know to be organs on the inside of this new being, or skin, or hair. Like you said, it doesn't get confused. And there is this intelligence of order about life, how it develops, and that goes on within our, I believe it goes on within our bodies all the time. The intelligence to monitor the system and to work for us. Did I hear some caller coming online?
Yes, you did, Carolyn. Hi, lovely ladies. This is Joy.
Oh, hi, Joy. What can we
Hello.
Do for you here?
As always, I enjoy you so much. And thank you so much for the platform today. Charlene, I would be so grateful to work with you to release the self-sabotage patterns. I had just come to a moment of clarity before the show of what I'm really ready to release and my labeling for it. I know that you like very much to work with specifics. And for me, it's like the glitch. And what I'm referring to is that I can be aligned with creating something, you know, 99%, and then I create that one percentile thing that, like something I would trip over, let's say, if I'm trying to get through a threshold, or if I'm doing something online, I can fill out an entire form, but then I always get the error message has occurred. There's always that one thing I forgot to do that impedes me from moving forward. And so my labeling for it would be struggle and efforting. So I'd love to, you know, whatever label you see fit, whether it's sabotage or efforting or struggle, I am ready to move forward in my life with ease and with the joy of effortlessness, which I do know is possible.
So you're
Joy,
saying
what
you
area
go...
are you discussing, dear? Are you asking, like, for all areas or a specific area
right.
of sabotage?
Well, if it could be all areas. I mean, if you need something specific, I can pick something. But I'd love it in all areas of manifestation. You know, when I'm looking at one of the things that I enjoyed so much was when you had talked several weeks ago about programming the field. And so I, you know, have a sense of what that is, and I see that I have kind of like an incomplete recipe, let's say. I forget one of the key ingredients, and then my programming in the field doesn't quite turn out like my souffle doesn't rise, as a metaphor, the way I'd like it to. So, yes, if it's possible to do it in a comprehensive sweep of manifesting my intention with ease, great. If you need something more specific, I can pick something.
Well, what do you need, Charlene?
Well, it sounds to me what you're saying is that you get so far into what you're trying to manifest, and then you don't get it completed. Is that correct?
That's a good way to put it. Yes, I'm a good starter and not finisher.
Okay. So basically what's happening is, that have you at any time been told that you'll never accomplish anything?
No, I'm not sure. I think possibly it's overwhelm or confusion. For example, a lot of times I find myself in conversations with, let's say, customer service agents, and I explain my issue, and then I always, when they give me their feedback or their answer, my answer to them is, no, I meant the opposite. So somehow what I transmit or what I create is the opposite of what I intended. That happens a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I'm not sure what part or how I'm transmitting that. I take responsibility that I'm, you know, providing that ingredient, let's say, but I don't know how I'm putting out the vibration that then manifests or gets the opposite. I call it the glitch, that there's some sort of a circuit glitch that happens where everything looks like it's going, like a plane that's about to be on the, it's on the runway, it's taxiing, and all of a sudden the engine cuts off, and instead of taking off, it just shuts down.
Okay, give me a good example of it, because it sounds to me like it's at work. Is that correct?
Well, here, maybe this is a really good original place to start.
How I look at it is...
When things are about to be birthed and then they crumble right before my very eyes, and if I were to look at where is my earliest memory of that, is that I very clearly know that I had a brother in the womb with me, and at some point he opted out of incarnating and he was an absorbed twin. And I have that experience, even let's say in relationships, men that adore me, that were, everything's progressing fine, we're totally happy, and then all of a sudden it's like this abort button happens without warning, like nothing's happened to, you know, we don't have a fight, nothing happens, just that, how I've interpreted it is that they no longer want to grow and expand spiritually, and I'm willing to go, so then our vibrations don't match up. But my experience is that same abortion moment, you know, where
right.
Everything's about to flourish, and then it dies.
See, that's a better way of looking, having an example, because those that are listening need to recognize that if you've had something, because yours is saying it's before birth that this occurred, and you're repeating it over and over again, not thinking that you can ever have anything that's permanent.
Beautifully said, Charlene. I am very good at attracting that which I want. It shows up, and then it vanishes. And that creates a repeated pattern of heartbreak and disappointment, and also shock.
Okay. Because, see, that's the thing that you have to go in and recognize. At some level, you've gone in there and you're sabotaging. In other words, the subconscious will say, oh, this is so great. And you'll say, this is so great and wonderful. I have this marvelous relationship. It's going to last. And then the subconscious says, wait a minute, I don't understand permanency. And so
brilliant. For example, it happens with my weight as well. When I get to my target weight, on the day that I get to my target weight, I will start gaining weight again.
That's right.
I land on it for a nanosecond, and then off I go.
Yeah, that's because the subconscious says, I don't understand having what I choose.
And getting to keep it. Yes.
Yeah, and being able to keep it. No, because
being able to keep it and enjoy it on an ongoing basis. In fact, when you just said that about the relationship, I remembered one man about a decade ago. He actually said the word, I intend to make you my wife, bought me a ring. We had plans for a house in Bimini, in the Bahamas, actually, because he wanted to do something with Atlantis energy. All of a sudden, one day, here comes the phone call. I can't do this anymore. I'm sorry. That was that.
Okay, because the energy that was being put out is being put out, reject me.
Ah, brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Thank you.
The energy that without verbalizing it. See, we do, most of us, we put out energy and thought patterns that are nonverbal. And so what we end up doing is we send out this signal to, it, like you're saying to him, reject me. And he picks it up and rejects you. And it's because you put it out there that you don't feel like you can have anything that you've created that is in a positive way and maintain it.
Yes, and then that creates the wound of abandonment. When you just said I thought, oh, how do I really feel? I thought, oh, I always feel abandoned. I can attract heaven, and then I feel that heaven leaves me. I feel abandoned. Because that's what I felt in the womb. I adored my brother, and I could never understand why he didn't choose to pursue it, but it left me with the misinterpretation. I know I realize I could have given it a different interpretation, but I interpreted it as I wasn't worth being with, I wasn't worth accompanying, and I therefore I didn't deserve love even.
So part of it too was that you had to take so much that it didn't leave enough for him to exist.
Oh, my gosh. Well, there's another thing is the guilt I do feel. It's almost like I've been living with survivor's guilt because I do feel guilty for taking up space, taking up time and space.
That's right. You felt like you took up too much of the space and it made it so he aborted.
Yeah, oh, my God. Absolutely true. Absolutely true. Because then all my life, I realize, I know how big and loud and how my energy field is so big, but at the same time, I have worked on being invisible, on suppressing myself, on being as small physically as I can be, very thin, and kind of like vanishing in the hopes that, I guess, there would be enough space for somebody else. Isn't that amazing? As a compensation.
Our memory really for part of our lifetime really does start with conception. Our perception about what our parents thought and what they verbalized, we start picking up that vibrational frequency of sound of their feelings and their thoughts and their verbalization, and that starts become a part of us, and that's what you're saying happened to you.
Exactly. And then the other piece of that, and I've done a lot of work on it, but anything that you can address today is that, I adore my mother, and as both of you lovely ladies know, she recently passed, so I even enjoy a much sweeter love connection with her essence. But as a human being, she had gone through so much trauma of World War II. She was in Italy, and the Germans took over her house, and she watched it being bombed. So she was, at a cellular level, hysterical. And so I absorbed that energy of kind of like this constant panic, worry, and fear of imminent death, really. And I'm aware of it, and I've worked a lot to choose peace, to choose calm. But I know I also transmit anxiety because that has been something that was my normal matrix in the womb with her, inside her body.
Well, let's see what we could do with clearing this out because...
Yeah, let's clear this.
Yeah.
Part of it is recognizing that you're not responsible for your brother leaving. It wasn't his time to come in. And did you have a brother later on?
No, I had that one famous sister that I've talked about, which I did have a great breakthrough last night with her soul, by the way. Happy to celebrate.
Wonderful.
Really, yes, really received truly
tears
of gratitude. But anyway, I had the sister instead of the brother.
Okay. Let's go in and have God change this for you, okay?
I'm excited. Yes, thank you.
Okay, let's go do that.
Well, while Charlene is doing that, Joy, we can talk. You know, I was just sitting here listening to the different things that you were saying, and I was thinking how sad that was to go through life feeling those things. Are you there?
Yes, I'm listening to you. Did you say the word sad, S-A-D?
Yeah, how sad it is to go through life feeling that you took up space for someone else and that you have to change the way you are living because of it. You know, that's a terrible burden to have carried.
Thank you for acknowledging that, because somebody, I heard this on another radio show recently, that it was a called the burden of being. And I thought, I do feel that. I feel guilty for showing up. And I remember this so clearly. One time I had these lovely pair of Italian designer shoes that were a little bit big on me. And I remember looking down and feeling really badly to take up space inside my shoes. Isn't that amazing?
My.
Yeah.
That's what a burden to have carried.
Yes, and also what a juxtaposition of vibrational contribution to the planet now that I have, you know, really owned my mission of being that messenger, like you pointed out. I love the words. You're the first person that told me that it exists, the love force that I'm part of, and that my vibrational gift is joy. What an incredible, I wasn't even aligned with my purpose. So then that created a lot of inner conflict of having that, you know, soul level knowing of something other that I could be contributing other than that sad note of, I'm so sorry to be me and please forgive me that I exist.
Mm. Yeah.
Isn't that bizarre?
No, that is so sad. Because
that's the opposite. Sorry, what were you trying to say?
I was just going to say, every one of us has the right to be here, and it is our gift to be here, and it is also our gift to share our essence with others. And so you were feeling quite the opposite. I mean, that was very difficult.
Thank you for acknowledging that, because I, you know, one of the things that I'm finally owning for myself, which I also believe my mother never owned for herself, is that I am a courageous woman. I always thought I lacked courage, and I thought, my God, I took on such a chunk of consciousness of such intense self-hatred that I have converted into love for myself, appreciation, and ownership and responsibility for my vibrational broadcast, and really intending to contribute to this consciousness evolution and to let it be a joyful process for myself and then extend that vibrational platform to others, that was a very brave and courageous thing, because I have, I really know the opposite of that which I now stand for and stand in. Which I think, however, does make me very relatable to a lot of people. A lot of people hate themselves. A lot of people aren't happy with who they are inside their own body and inside their own thought system.
Have you ever gone in and asked yourself why your mother, you came as the daughter of your mother, why you chose her? Did you ever ask yourself that?
You know, I haven't. You know what I really have gotten to look at so much now lately with my family group, given that two of them are transitioned, both my parents have transitioned, and two of us are left. I did look at very high-strung people, first of all, a lot of nervous energy and a lot of anxiety, but in the greatest gift, I remember my parents laughing and happy. They were able to be so loving and generous and joyful, and we were a family of adorers. I wrote this down not long ago. I thought, you know, what is my greatest memory vibrationally of my family? Despite all the other, you know, stuff, most of all, we adored each other. I know that my mother adored me. My father adored me. My sister put me up on a pedestal for the entirety of our childhood. And I adored them. I adored her. And like I said last night, given that you helped me so much last weekend with, I think it was last weekend, a week to week seems so long, but when you were talking about the power that we both shared as royalty and the Temple of Atlantis, the greatest gift from your words that came to me was you said, I chose And I just remembered, it's like, oh yes, I am choosing, you know, to use my power in this way, and I can give her the freedom. But what I got last night, truly, it was almost like tumblers when you're trying to open up a safe, you know, one of those locks, and all the tumblers fall into place. And what I realized is that the gift that she was vibrationally mirroring to me out of the greatest soul love, because only the people who really love you the most are willing to wear the really ugly outfits that you can face yourself in the mirror, was relating it to my past eating disorder. I had anorexia when I was 14, and I realized, because I thought of how would I describe her, and I thought, well, she is rejecting my love. When I tell her I love her, she says it makes her nauseous and she wants to throw up. And that's how I started to take ownership of it. I thought, where am I like that? And I thought, oh, there came that point where my parents, who used to put a lot of love in our food, they both adored cooking for us, and they were superlative cooks, and I either would absolutely refuse to eat it, or I would eat it and throw up, which is the same thing as saying, your love makes me nauseous, and I will not receive it. Isn't that brilliant?
Really? Has Charlene come back?
Really, and I thought, and there came a moment when I said to her soul, I said, you no longer have to wear the ugly outfit. I got the gift. I can own that part of me that you've been holding up, and then I could acknowledge her for her courage. I thought, wow, it really takes a lot of courage at a soul level, whether her personality knows it or not, but to show up as what I would define as, you know, a nightmare situation until I could really own it and go, you know what, you're right. That does live in me somewhere.
Let Charlene come in, sweetheart. She's trying to get back to us.
Absolutely.
What I want you to do is step back and see what happens as far as your behavior with completing goals now. You know, set some goals for yourself, and let's see that they can now come to completion in a positive way, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Oh, I said I didn't hear that very last part.
Okay, he put in that you will now see your goals come to completion in a positive way. In other words, he took out the negative and replaced it with that. That you will now
see them
for yourself, and you will see them come to completion in a positive way.
Great.
He took care of all of that for you, okay? So let's hear from
you. Bless you both. Thank you with all my heart.
You're welcome. Talk to you
soon. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So, Charlene, how does this fit in with people who procrastinate?
Well, it's the same thing. I find that we procrastinate with the idea that maybe we're not going to be able to make it anyway.
You think so? People feel that they're not going to be...
Yeah, there's no set rule. I have to usually listen to the person. And as they're talking, then all of a sudden there'll be something. It's like God all of a sudden just goes boom to me, and I go, there it is, right there. And then I'll
so
say,
they're
okay,
identifying with failure, right?
Yeah, they're identifying with failure. In other words, they perceive them as a failure, so they keep procrastinating, so that they won't have to face the failure. Now, some people are afraid of success because of the responsibility that success also brings to us.
Well, I'd like to throw out a challenge to the audience, Charlene. If there are some people who are procrastinators, give us a call. Or if you're afraid of success, give us a call.
Yeah.
Let's see what we could do with these two things.
Yeah, because success is another thing, because if you're successful, what is the responsibility of an individual that is successful? It might be that you see that those that are successful have a tremendous amount of responsibility, and you might not want that responsibility, so you sabotage it.
Well, there's another aspect of it, too. If you are too successful, it's going to change your life.
Oh, and not only that, but it changes your your whole structure of your family, how people perceive you, you end up with different friends, you know, all of that. And so sometimes that's, if you recognize it ahead of time and then deal with it, you'll probably be more at ease with the success.
Of course, there's another aspect of that too, Charlene. If a person is successful, they might have the fear that success will be taken away from them.
Yeah.
You know, I know lots of people who have been successful in certain projects, and after a while, it fails, and they lose everything. And there are some individuals who have done this several times.
Yes.
They have a goal, they reach their goal, and then it's like the fruits of their labor has been taken away in some fashion.
Well, that's kind of what we've been talking about in the subconscious level. Because when I was in class, we had a fellow that was there, and he says, I've made as much money as all of you several times over. He says he could build up a company and make it successful, and then it would fail. And he'd do it over and over and over again. But so what we found was the fact that on a subconscious level, what would happen was people would start saying to him, oh, you're great, you're wonderful. They would start praising him. He was admired for his success. And on a subconscious level, the subconscious would say, I don't understand this, and it would sabotage it, and he'd lose the whole thing again. The reason was when he was born, he really didn't have parents or anybody that really nurtured him. And so he didn't have that self-worth that was required for him to maintain that when he was successful. So he had to have be reprogrammed. The subconscious cannot reason. It only can understand what you give it. And so just had to put in, my mother nurtured me. My mother loved me. My mother wanted me to be born. My mother, and put in a lot of positive, my mother sees me as successful, and I maintain my success. And then do it with his father, anything that he chose to put in. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't what we chose, it's what he chose. And we put that in so that he could go ahead, build up another company, and go ahead and be successful and stay in it. Because he'd done it several times. And that's kind of the way the subconscious, it only understands the information that you give it, can't reason, has the ability for reasoning.
You know, we talked about this earlier, Charlene, how we play a tape when we're young.
Right.
We usually hear the words from our parents, and then we get older and we replay that same tape again. And so what this is about is changing tapes in your subconscious that doesn't serve you any longer, because if the tape is still playing in your subconscious, it's going to manifest in your exterior world someplace.
Well, in fact, it's going to. It's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because the subconscious is pretty, the subconscious is very obedient to what you've given it to, given it on a conscious level. It's very obedient to it. So you have
to go in. Talking about this, this is a fascinating topic, I think, at least for me, Charlene. When we have had people who have reincarnated with these advanced, tremendously advanced gifts, and I'm thinking of the people like Mozart, you know, who came in and before they were 10, they were creating, writing masterpieces of music. And there are so many examples of this. And so these individuals didn't acquire everything in that particular lifetime. They acquired these gifts in previous lifetimes, and then they came in and they remembered it. And so in the Akashic Records, it was said that if there is something that you want to do, then start on it now, because if it doesn't bear fruit in this lifetime, it will certainly bear fruit in the next. And I kind of like that, so that no matter what your age, what you're doing, if there is something that you admire and something you want to do or create, start now. You will
accomplish
it. It's never
too late.
Yeah, you will accomplish
it at some
point. No, never too late.
Yeah, that's a good point, though. I've had a fellow that I knew, and he's probably about 82, and went over to, he's the father of one of my friends, and I'd gone over to see her, and her dad was there, and I heard, my daughter and I heard somebody playing the piano, and then pretty soon he came to the door, and said, oh, my goodness, who's playing the piano? And he says, oh, it's me. He says, I just decided to learn how to play the piano. And here he was, 82, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was so marvelous, such a wonderful example.
I think
it doesn't matter what your age is.
Well, that's true, too, but it can also be that he was remembering something that he learned from the past.
Well, one of them was that he knew his wife, who had passed over, would be happy he was learning how to play the piano. That's what he said. He
well,
said, well, I know she's happy that I'm learning how to play the piano.
Well, I think if you start something and right away you become rather proficient with it, you've done it before.
Probably,
you're,
huh?
You're remembering. And?
Well, I can tell you, I think I was a concert pianist in a past life, because when I hear some music, I can feel my body and my hands and my arms just moving. But I go sit down at my piano, and it does not coordinate.
Well, Charlene, this is one of the methods that you can that people can use to remember past lifetimes. In other words, let's say, for instance, you are relating in some deep way to beautiful music.
Oh, absolutely.
And maybe music that was played on the piano. And if one feels this connection with either a profession or some creative aspect like this, if you sit and meditate on it, there's a good chance that you'll come up with some snippets of this past lifetime. And that is how you, if a person is interested in remembering past lifetimes, it's one way that you can begin. For instance, if there's a country, let's say you've never been to France, but everything about France just intrigues you. Everything you hear about France, it's as if you just know and love the country. Well, there's a good chance you had some lifetimes there. And so you start going along that line. Well, what is it about France that I like? What time frame is it that I'm enjoying? And you'd be surprised how you start remembering these things. Have you ever done that?
With another country, not about a country, but probably other things.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to draw, paint and draw. I've always wanted to do portraits. So I decided, well, if you've always wanted to do it, I guess you better get busy and do it. So that's what I did.
Well, did you remember any past lifetimes with it?
No, not really. I suspect it was because the desire is so
mm-hmm.
entrenched, right?
Yeah.
So
I think there are certain qualities that the soul has absorbed in its journey. And if, for instance, you were a painter and you did portraits and you really enjoyed that, and there was a great aspect of learning. You know, somebody who is sitting painting a portrait can learn an awful lot about the person that they're painting. And joy that you gave other people with your work. And so I believe these aspects of love and enjoyment, the soul carries that experience because it has that knowledge. And we come back. And little things will trigger that, but it's knowledge that the soul already has. And that's the thing. We come in to this lifetime with a great amount of knowledge, much more than what we have learned in this lifetime. I find it so intriguing because remembering your past lifetime gives you a real insight as to who you are and the journey that you have taken and the missions that you have accomplished. Matter of fact, on the program, which I call The Next Step, it's one of the lessons that's going to be taught there, how to remember past lifetimes, which I find remembering past lifetimes is so important. And if anybody's interested in that, it can be found at the website www.the2012countdown.com under shop. People can sign up. Very inexpensive. Get a lesson every month. So I am intrigued with past lifetimes because I've remembered so many of them.
When
do you remember your past lifetime, Charlene?
Yes. Part of it is doing, I don't know how many times I've been doing what I'm doing now.
I bet you've done it plenty of times.
Yeah, it's just part of the, I've been healer many times or been persecuted or put to death because of it.
Indeed.
It took me a while to be able to break through that and get some work done so that I could move forward with it because there was so much hesitation and so much fear associated with the persecution if I continued working with God, with Him healing people. And
why don't we offer that to those who are listening? If there is fear surrounding a particular kind of profession that you wish to begin, give us a call. There might be a block surrounding it that we can release. The number here is 888-815-9756.
Really big one. It was a big one for me because I remember one time saying, I had somebody working with me and I said, I do swear that I was burned at the stake, and she looked at me and she says, my dear, you were.
Yeah,
I said, because that's what I felt. I felt it.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that I had always been on the firing line at a battle because
mm-hmm.
I was always fighting the battle to make it work so I could stay in, you know, and release that fear that was so prevalent with inside of me that if I continued in the work that I knew that God designated for me to do and I coveted with Him to do, that I once again would be persecuted because of it. So I had to work hard with that one for a while. And I think a lot of people probably have the same thing.
Charlene, we've had so many years here on this planet where there has been war. People have suffered, sufferings of all kinds. And it is now that these things are coming forth for people to clear from
right.
their some type of energy pattern. It's one of the reasons why we do this show.
Yes, you're right.
Yeah, because
God is telling us that we're winding down on it, not winding or life going out. I guess somebody said that to me one day. I said, no, all He's doing is having us release the past memory from past lives that are holding a negative vibrational frequency on this universe. And so what He's got us doing is going into people's past life, their cellular memory, and releasing it so that we have not positive energy on this earth instead of negative. So that's our purpose, is to work hard to get this resolved.
Why don't you give people your phone number in case they want to call you direct, Charlene?
Okay, it's Mountain Standard Time. It's 801-944-9346.
Sometimes people are hesitant about calling on the line because they have problems that are personal and they don't wish to discuss it on the line. So you have Charlene's phone number that you can call her direct. She does do private readings for people. And if you want a private reading, give her a call. Give that number out again, Charlene.
Okay, 801-944-9346. We certainly do see a lot of miracles in people's lives, that's for sure.
Indeed.
Yep, we do. You are able to rise above the things that are that you're searching to overcome, and God will go in and change the frequency for which it's operating in and put it in as a positive so that you can move forward in your life.
You know,
life
I'd like to talk a little
choose.
Bit about that. You know, people might not really understand this when you discuss frequency.
Right.
There is energy all around us. And we don't understand this because we don't always see the energy. We don't always feel it. But it is there. And it's moving back and forth between people, events, places. And here we are in the midst of it, being surrounded and bombarded by all these different energies. Some might be very compatible to who we are, and some might be in opposition. So I mention this because there's things that are going on that we don't necessarily see, but they're going on all the time, and they are affecting us in a way that we might not understand for the moment, but nevertheless, they do affect us. I remember Caroline talking about how she would go into a public place like a restaurant or a grocery store and how she would clear all of the energies that were there. Anything that might be negative, she would clear it before she entered. I always thought that was interesting.
Yeah, I have to do that too. I can go into a store, and if it's really bombarded with a lot of negative, pretty soon I'll find that my physical body's just drained. And then I'll go, whoops, I forgot to clear things before I came in. And because it'll drain you, and you'll wonder why you just aren't feeling good, or you're feeling down, or depressed, or discouraged. And it might be that the energy in that particular building or area that you're in might be have a lot of negative energy. And when we're talking about negative energy, the things that we speak and the things that we say and the things that we think have a vibrational frequency. And those around us, if an individual we might be living with or a boss or somebody might have a lot of negativity being projected at me as an individual, for instance. And
or
if that's happening, I'm picking up on it.
Or it might even be somebody that's in our lives.
Yeah. Where are we doing a lot with that one lately? So what we have to do is go in and change the vibrational frequency. Every word we use has a vibrational frequency on it.
How about thoughts?
Yeah, and our thoughts.
Yeah, you're talking about words, and thoughts are just as important. I remember Edgar Casey saying in his work that thoughts are things and how they
go out
into the universe and they affect everything.
They do, and they end up creating the matter for which we operate from, because it is a thing. See, it's kind of like we go over to the light switch and we turn on the light, or we put a plug in the wall and we say, well, there's electricity, but we don't see it, but we know it's there.
We have a caller, and your name, caller.
Hello, ladies. It's June.
Hi, June. What can we do for you, dear?
I'm enjoying your conversations very much.
Are you? I thought maybe no one was there and they all went away for the weekend.
They probably a lot of them did, but, I work at a native animal rescue and all the babies need feeding every hour, so I'm home.
Tell me about this rescue. What's that all about?
Well, it's just... here on the Monterey Bay, so many of the services have closed or are limited, and so we took our double garage. My family lives on almost an acre, And we took our double garage and we made it an animal hospital. And
so this is a personal thing that you and your family do?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, my golly, how marvelous. So how do you work with this?
Well, people just have heard about it. It's been here over 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And this time of year, the babies are either falling out of the trees or the, you know, there's hardly any wild place anymore. So a lot of cats get little squirrels and possums, and we got like 3 or 4 little baby deer, and we got 50, 60 birds. And
oh, my goodness.
So we feed them every hour on the hour, 12
well,
hours
that takes,
a day.
That takes a lot of money. Do you have people that help you out?
We have donations. Everybody that brings a bird or something usually leaves $5 or $10. And then one, my mom writes grants and goes to meetings and does a presentation, and my sister does the books, and then my nieces and I do the feedings, and
that's
we got
wonderful.
Owls and hawks, and yeah, it feels good to help the innocent ones, the little birds and stuff.
And so you've done this for 10 years.
They have. I just started helping a lot when I got hurt at work and I've been home with an injury, so I can go and help with the low birds and stuff because I can't do heavy lifting, but I surely can lift a little tiny hummingbird.
Oh, how fun.
Really?
But that's why I'm around today. Otherwise, I'd be... But I am enjoying hearing you talk about subconscious patterns and stuff. And when I look at mine, they hide from me. They're really good hiders.
Yeah,
oh, really?
You find,
yeah,
do you
they
find
are.
That true?
I don't know about hiding. What do you think, Charlene?
Well, she's just saying the subconscious.
The subconscious.
I mean, you don't know what's in there. You don't know what
the
hiding is.
I see the outward results, the self-sabotage or whatever, but... And when I try to, like, go in and say, which part of me is making this happen, it kind of hides out.
Yeah.
Well, what would you like for us to do for you, June?
You know, what I'm really sad about is my relationship with my daughter, because I had her when I was 18, when I was drinking and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she's pretty mad at me. And I was just wondering about if we've had other lives. And now I have a grandson that I hardly ever get to see, because she's still mad at me a lot. And I totally understand.
Why do you think she's mad with you?
Because I wasn't a very good parent at 18, and I was drinking a lot. I wasn't.
She hasn't forgiven you for that.
Mm-mm.
Have you forgiven her?
Yeah. I do. I do. I try to forgive myself and her, and I'd like to just move on and...
So what do you think, Charlene?
Well,
anything you can do for June?
Well, part of it, one of the words that you used was try, which means you haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't quite forgiven myself. It's,
right.
You know,
see,
I'm working on it.
Well, but then that's our job, is to go in there and have it changed.
That's what you said. That's why I called. You said, all the stuff is here to be released and transformed.
Yeah. If you had any past lives with her, you can't.
That's what I want to know.
If you had a past life, you came in to resolve it together.
Yeah, I'm very curious.
And this gives you
an
opportunity to make this change.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there was something else. It didn't quite come through when you were talking. I just didn't quite pick it. It has something to do with conception to birth. What went on there?
It was pretty hectic. I didn't realize I was pregnant, and I got married because of it to somebody I didn't really like.
Okay.
Interesting. You didn't say you didn't love them. You said you didn't like them. That's
even worse. Yeah, I had already left. And then we found out I was pregnant, and he was being drafted to Vietnam, so... But I left. I left right a few years later, so that didn't last too long.
Mm-hmm.
But it was pretty hectic, you know, drinking, shootings, fighting, physical battery.
Yes, if part of that, what it does is it comes in with the energy. That's the energy is that the things that we pick up when from conception to birth is what the parents are, the parent birth parents are saying, and we pick up on our perception about ourselves from what is being said. But part of it is recognizing the fact that it can be changed.
Yes,
and
that's right.
It can be changed. It doesn't have to stay. Once we recognize it, instead of just saying, well, there's nothing we can do about it, I've seen so many changes where, for instance, if I go in and have God do a rebirthing, changes the whole perception of the individual. That's a complete new change because the subconscious can't reason. So if God goes in and he tells us that, changes the energy from conception to birth to different words, takes out those that were spoken and understood and felt and takes them out and then replaces it with, oh, mom is so happy. She is so cheerful. She is so loving. She loves me. She loves me dearly. You see a lot of things that you would put in for her to feel and put that in, and it's replaced with that. Now, the subconscious, the reality is what happened before, but the subconscious doesn't know it anymore.
Right.
You might
have
to remember.
Well, what do you say? You work with that, Charlene. See what you can do with it, and I'll talk to June.
Thank you, Charlene.
Okay, June. I'm not going to tell.
There's one thing I forgot to ask you. He told me.
What?
What's your daughter's first name?
Lisa.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, June. I think if you were truthful with yourself, you would really know that you've had past lifetimes with your daughter, Lisa, don't you?
I feel that, yeah.
Yeah. And rather than tell you about this, you see, what I've learned from reading the Akashic Records is that people who come with us who become members in our immediate family, there are those that we struggle with that challenge us, and that means that we have healing to do with them. And then there are others that are like angels. They are like our confidants, people that we can talk to, who say the right things to us, and they're our support system.
Mm-hmm.
So in the family relationships, we'll have both. Are you relaxed? Take a couple deep breaths. I want you to do this. Take a breath or two and relax, June. I want you to see yourself standing next to another person, and you're both female, and you're sisters, and the dress of the day is not like we're dressing. Can you see them? Tell me what kind of clothes that you're wearing, the two of you.
Looks Greek. The white over one shoulder.
Yeah.
Hair up on the heads.
Yeah. And these two sisters, can you have any sense of what was going on between the two of them that needed to be resolved now, that hasn't been resolved yet?
Okay, June. How's your
I'll
heart
finish
talking?
This one. June, I will finish this with you when Charlene completes. Okay.
Terrific. Double whammy today. Yippee.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You finish, Charlene. Go in and finish, darling.
Okay. What he put in was that your heart is chakra is now open for receiving and giving love to Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
And that her heart is opened mm-hmm. for giving and receiving love from you.
Mm.
Both of you had closed up that that love avenue between the two of you.
Aww.
So he took out the feelings of not being wanted or not, the unloved feeling. Apparently there was a lot of fighting going on, a lot of
yep.
arguing.
Yep.
A lot of confusion. He yep. took all of that out.
Ah, thank goodness.
And then replaced it with that your heart is now open for receiving and giving love to Lisa and her doing the same.
Beautiful.
So let's see how that relationship goes, okay? Because both of you during that time closed off.
Mhm. Mhm. She went and lived with her grandmother a lot.
Oh.
And she's still very close to her grandmother, my mom. So that's good that we can be friends again.
Okay, that's good. But he took out all the confusion and all the chaos.
Yeah, and all the chaos.
There was a lot of animosity. Is that correct?
18 and drinking, I don't even know, and physical violence with her father, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. But he took that all out and at the end replaced with all the positive
mm-hmm.
of being loved and wanted and the joy you felt of her coming. And then opened
your
heart.
I named her Joy. That's her middle name.
Oh. Well, let's see how that goes in that relationship with each other.
I certainly hope so. I would love to clear that up.
Well, there's more that we can do with it, okay?
Okay.
There'll be some things. Think about it and think of some of the things that might have been said that needs to be released. But all we're doing is triggering the subconscious right now, and more information will come up that you might want to have cleared.
Yes.
Because it has a lot to do with her feelings of self-worth.
Her feelings what?
It
of
has
self-worth.
Her self-worth.
Aww.
That's okay. God will take care of it.
So you have the desire to change this.
Oh, absolutely.
So
it'll
work out.
Yes, that's
yeah.
right. And it's all here to be cleared. That's why we're here.
Well,
right?
That's why you probably tuned in today.
I tune in all the time, yeah.
Okay, darling.
I can't get enough of you guys.
I love it. What we were
Thank
doing,
you,
Charlene, is we
yeah.
were taking her back to the first lifetime that she... the two of them had together, June
okay,
and
okay.
Lisa. And we talked about she is standing next to another woman, and I asked her the dress because it wasn't in the dress of today, and she identified that the two of them were dressed in the Greek fashion. And so are you relaxed? Do you
mm-hmm,
need to
mm-hmm,
take
I'm
another
still
breath
there.
Or two? Okay.
And we're at a dock, and there's a boat, and I have to leave. Or she
He's
has
going.
To leave. Somebody's leaving on a boat.
Was it an exile?
Yes, there is kind of a running away kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm.
I see the boat. I see the dock. I see one person holding the other. Don't go, don't go.
Well, what I'm being shown is this is the beginning of this journey that the two of you have gone on together
mm-hmm.
that hasn't been resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And we identified that you were sisters, and I want you to look into the relationship with the parents with these two sisters. And tell me if you think that was the reason that this exile occurred.
Hmm. the parents seem to be dead. Is it true? Let me see. Something about the parents. Yeah, the parents seem to have been killed already.
It's an issue over the parents. It's an issue of exile. It is an issue of separation. There's many issues there that was the beginning of this trauma between the two of you that was never resolved. What you might want to do, if you feel so inclined, so you understand the basis of this, is go with this vision and go into a meditative state and see what comes of it. Because time and time again, the two of you have come together and you haven't cleared these two issues between you. And, of course, it was all about love, withholding love, jealousy, rivalry. And the time has come when you know it has to be cleared, you desire to have it cleared, and it is being cleared. But it gives you a little bit of perspective on what happened. And you see, when you have this perspective and you see some of the past lifetimes, you realize that neither one is really at fault, that it is a combination of the reactions or between two people over a period of time that got you to this moment. Mm-hmm. And I say this so that you don't take on the guilt complex of what happened here.
Mm.
You know, this, and you would be very prone to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm guilty. But this is a relationship between the two of you that's coming to be healed, and all is done in love. So don't look for one party or the other party and say this one's to blame or this one is, you know, is not. Each come to the situation for reasons that their own soul has set up. And even though your daughter has gone through a very difficult time right now, when we come in, we set up the circumstances, you know, and we do agree to them. So there was a purpose behind all of this. And sometimes it's very difficult to see the purpose until you start to follow the experience. Does that make sense?
Totally makes sense. I totally believe all that. That's why I'm so willing to look at it all and just heal it, because it's here to be healed.
That's
lifetimes.
Right.
Lifetimes and lifetimes.
Exactly.
That could even be Atlantis, not Greek, huh?
Well, there's a good chance that it went beyond Greek, but it seemed to be that was a high point that started the... I guess you would say competition.
Competition. Women have been pitted against each other in all horrible different ways.
Yes.
Through patriarchal history, yeah. I just want to ask you real quickly, do you want some white sage? Do you, either of you women, use white sage to clear your houses and stuff?
You know, I don't, but maybe I need to.
Because I grow it, and I would love to offer you both.
Oh, that would be nice.
You know, if you sent me some white sage, I would use it. It's not something that I've done so far, but I can see where it has an advantage.
Okay, I would love to give that to you for all you do.
Now, where are you living?
I live on the West Coast in Monterey Bay.
Okay.
And I grow white sage and give it away a lot.
Oh, good, good.
Well, write to both of you and send
Send me a note, carolyn@carolynevers.com, and I'll send you my address.
I'll do it.
Okay.
Sounds wonderful.
Thank you. I'll let someone else call you now, and keep up the wonderful work, women.
Okay, let us know how it goes with your daughter, okay?
I will. I'll call you when it's really great.
Okay.
And it will be great.
Oh, I know
it will.
I've seen it happen a lot of times.
Good.
And if you want more done with it, give me a call.
I'll do that.
Okay.
Namaste.
Namaste, dear. June mentioning that namaste reminded me of something. was going on a cruise with someone, and I have these two pieces of luggage, and I'm going to catch a train, and I'm in New York going down the escalator. I didn't see any other way to get downstairs to get on the train except to go down this escalator with these two big suitcases. And so there was a man, a gentleman behind me. He looked like he could have been from India, you know. And so he offered his services to help me get down this escalator with my baggage. And we got down to the bottom, and I turned to him, and I put my hands together in a folded sign of prayer, and I bowed to him and said, Namaste. And you should have seen the look on his face. He was not expecting that. In Grand Central Station in New York City, and he was just so delighted.
What does it mean?
The God in me recognizes the God in you, or salutes the God in you.
Oh, my goodness gracious, how wonderful.
It is. It's a lovely, it's a lovely word, and I think sometimes with words we use them and we don't really think about the meaning.
Mm. And that is Namaste?
Like an N, beginning with an N. Na.
Namaste.
Yeah.
Oh. How wonderful is that?
It is. It's beautiful.
It
so,
is.
Friends out there, give us a call, 888-815-9756. As you probably have recognized, we have a new telephone number. And in case you're trying to dial the old number, you're not getting anywhere with it, are you? So try this one, dear, 888-815-9756. And we are approaching the last half hour of our two-hour show. Isn't it amazing how time slips by when you're having fun?
Yeah, it really does. So we must be having fun because we're in almost the end of May already and we just got started. It's so hard. It just seems like it whips by so quickly, time does.
Well,
but it did speed up.
Let me ask you a question. Does it seem like a very long time ago that we celebrated Christmas?
No, it doesn't sound seem very long ago, and I don't like anybody that the newscaster said, we've got so many days till Christmas, and I thought, you could have gone a long time without saying that.
Well, we put up a lot of Christmas lights, so we think of Christmas a lot here, and we're half of the time has gone, and we're going to be starting thinking about Christmas lights.
Well, I find Christmas is a joyful time.
Well,
it really
is, and for those who might not be aware of this, there are a group of angels that distribute great blessings at Christmas time, and they gather these blessings throughout the year by people who make it possible, and then they distribute them at Christmas time. So it's very important. You know, we bake cookies, we buy presents, and we get into the busy thing that corporate world presents to us. But also take the time to be joyful in the true spiritual essence of what Christmas really means. And, you know, many people believe that December 25th really was not the actual birthday of Jesus Christ, and it probably wasn't, but it is honored as such. It is held in the belief systems of people as such, and as such, all of the joys of being loving to one another, of sharing blessings, would occur on that day, whether this was his actual birth date or not. And so it is a truly great time of the year to receive blessings. And so when it does come, and we are, you know, a long time away from it yet, but I say that now so that you make an intention to keep your eyes in spirit and the spiritual gifts, along with all of the other things that people do during the holiday season, because it truly is a special time of the year.
So now, like, give an example of that.
Oh, I could give several. I'll tell you one that one year I went to Jerusalem and went to many of the places that Yeshua had lived, and it was an extraordinarily beautiful time, and I felt so close to the Holy Family, and there was something that had built up within my heart, this great love. And by the time that I got home, it was very close to the holiday season, and my heart was still full of this great love for Yeshua and Mary Magdalene and Mother Mary, but especially Yeshua because of the places that I had been. And I went to a Christmas service with my daughter and her husband and the family. And in this particular place, it was a little bit different in the sense that they had a group of people who played instruments right up there where the pastor was given the service. And the music was played with such great enthusiasm. And the song or the hymn that they were playing had to do with Christ as being the King of the Earth. And as they are building up this crescendo of this tremendous enthusiasm, I see Christ in all of his glorious robes as King of the planet. He's got a crown on his head. He has these beautiful ornate robes. And he is standing behind this group who are playing. And, of course, there's all the parishioners who are there in front of the group. And Jesus is standing, giving his blessings over every section of those who were in whose presence was there. And as the music was drifting off, then the picture of Christ just disappeared with it. It was so extraordinarily beautiful. And it is these moments when you are aligned with spirit in some fashion, particularly at times of the year that I consider sacred and solemn, the angels open up these blessings, this abundance. And I don't think I would have been able to participate in that if my experience and the condition of my heart wasn't such when I went there. But during that Christmas time, I had followed so many places in the Bible. For instance, we were there where the shepherds were watching their sheep, and there's a church there built to honor that moment. So that was one blessing that I had received that was extraordinary. Another blessing that I had received around the Christmas holiday was, we have a tree right outside my window that is tall. It's a tall tree, tall and narrow. And we would put lights on it from the top to the bottom. And something happened that two strings of the lights went out. In other words, the wind had come up, had blown the lights. And for whatever reason, these two strings didn't show up anymore. They just, blacked out. The lights that were left formed the outline of an angel, and this was extraordinary. This angel, the robe went down to the ground, and her head went up to the top of the tree, and held a basket in her hands, which I considered a basket of blessings. And I would look outside my bedroom window at her every night because we had timers on the lights, and I would see this angel there, pointing, her form was shifted directly to my window, and it was like she's right outside the window, looking in my window with this basket of blessings. So yes, you can have extraordinary things happen during these times.
So it wasn't my chance, huh?
No, I really don't think so.
No,
don't think that at all. And it wasn't one of those things where I had to stretch my memory, my vision, and say, oh, maybe this is. No, people would come to the door, and they would say, do you know you've got an angel in that tree?
Oh,
people saw it. Yeah, they came to the door and told me.
Oh.
It was quite extraordinary.
And that's wonderful, isn't it?
Well, it really is. When you have things, spirit touches you in such a manner that you know this was not something casual. You know that this really was the workings of spirit in some fashion, and there's no doubt about it.
I think everybody has those experiences. Sometimes they don't relay it to others, and we really should.
I would agree with you, Charlene.
Yeah, we really need to share it.
Everybody has a story like that, which, why don't we suggest and challenge to those who are listening, if you have a story that you would like to share with those who are listening of something really special where Spirit or God touched you in a very special way, give us a call here at 888-815-9756. We'd like to hear your story, and we would also like to be able to share it with others, because I do believe in what you're saying, Charlene. I think everybody has a story. And the fact that we are talking about it might help you remember it again.
Or recognize it when it does come in.
True.
It's not
by
chance.
All been blessed in so many special ways. And sometimes it's easy to forget these moments when we have some trials that come into our lives, or we feel that we're struggling over something, we feel that we're being challenged, and we don't always remember those moments when Spirit walked with us, when God was by our side. You know that little card called Footsteps? You know,
uh-huh.
Somebody wrote this beautiful poem called Footsteps, and there's an image of Jesus walking next to an individual, and you could see the footsteps. And then there were other places where it was just the individual footsteps. And so they asked, you know, why were you not with me? Because they were my most troubled periods in my life. And Jesus said basically why they were the moments that I carried you.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of carrying.
Yes.
That's my feelings anyway.
I know. I like that. I like that imagery, and I think it's so true. And the other aspect of that, Charlene, is the individual who was being carried didn't recognize that they were being carried. They had to be told that during those times of trial that they were actually being carried. They didn't recognize it
because the stress was so great.
Well, it could be the stress, but I think there might even be another aspect of it. Sometimes people think they're not worthy to have a close relationship with some of the masters on the other side.
I agree, yeah.
Yeah, whether it's Archangel Michael or Yeshua or some of the other partners that who come in and help to uplift humanity. It's so easy for people to say, well, I'm not worthy of that, but you really are. And there have been teachings like we are all sinners. And I think that has, if you believe it, that's fine, but I think that's really counterproductive. I think that seeing the souls created, seeing God create the souls, and seeing our souls being made up of particles that came directly from Prime Creator there is no way that Prime Creator could think that there was something sinful or shameful about their creation. We are God's progeny. And if there are people who feel that we are sinners, don't you feel that you are a sinner? God brought you forth in the light and the colors and the sounds of creation. God would never look upon you as something less than. You were created out of the mastery and the particles of all there is. And I will remind people of that whenever I can, and may you think it and realize it, and may it somehow sink within your soul that you are perfect. We have completed journeys where things have happened that need to be healed. We don't always recognize those circumstances that drove us because they're in past history. I mean, sometimes we were held prisoner in challenges and in the domination of the dark, and choices that we made weren't always the choices that we would have made if we had the freedom to make the choices that we wanted to make. So don't be too hard on yourself. Love yourself and love others. That is the mystery and the secret of the universe. There is nothing.
Well, I'd like to remind people that they really are pure love. And,
yes. There's nothing other than love.
Now, we do have experiences, but we've come to have experiences that we might grow and develop spiritually in all aspects of our being. But it isn't because some of those experiences we have and we think, well, that one didn't turn out too good, so we change it. But it isn't because necessarily that we've done it. Some people might do it out of animosity. But I'm still telling you that God still loves you and wants you to make choices that will serve you best.
My friends, we probably have about 10 minutes left. If you want to get in touch with us, join in on the discussion. Not much time. Give us a call here, dears. 888-815-9756. Our door is open and going to close soon.
Just about, huh?
Yeah.
I think everybody can relate to having things happen to them that are just not by chance. And you know that there was divine intervention in your behalf. And I think most people have had that experience. And if they haven't, I think we have to step back and say, has there been a time, and I've just, like you said, and have I not recognized the divine intervention? And see that it wasn't by chance that there was intervention in your behalf. Even sometimes when you thought there's certainly good. I've had so many times when I thought sure there was going to be a big accident and it's been avoided. And I just sit there and say, thank you, God, thank you, thank you. You know, because it could have been something really serious.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I've had so many of those. So I just
appreciate. I have too.
And I think most people have had those experiences where they know their life was spared. Or some of them, you know, they do have some trauma that happens. And I have to step back and say, okay, now what is it that I'm supposed to learn from this? What experience?
Well, and some people also, Charlene, have had near-death experiences where it looked like they actually went through the door of death, and they come back to let people let them know what life was really like.
Right. Yeah, and that's what they come back for.
Mm-hmm.
Is to let us be aware and have more hope of what the future is out there. That
mm-hmm.
just this life is not the end. It's part of the whole cycle of our existence.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives you a great deal of hope rather than being so down on yourself all the time, because so many people are feeling so lack of self-worth and self-love.
Well, it's because we have been programmed over such a long time to think of ourselves less than.
Yes, yes.
And there has been a lot of control and domination, and like you were talking about, remembering being burned at the stake. I remember being burned at the stake. I've given readings for people where they were healers or teachers, and they were dragged through the streets, and people jeered at them, and then, you know, went through a terrible death. And that needs to be cleared, and you know, that's part of the past, and if it's not cleared, we're walking around with hesitations, with feelings that don't belong there.
It sure is nice to work with people and see how their life changes once that's released.
Yes.
Because there's a whole new beginning of their life experiences with themselves and interaction with other people once that's cleared.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a real miracle to watch.
Truly,
I
it is.
A lot of that.
Our number here is 888-815-9756. Are you just going to sit out there and listen to Charlene and I talk, or are you going to call in and ask for some kind of help?
If not,
we'll just have to sit here and talk.
We'll just keep right on talking. They just want to listen today.
You think that's what it is?
We're here to be teachers, that's for sure. If we're not going to, you know, but I could tell an experience that I had at Christmas time.
Why don't you?
I had this book, and it's got diamonds on a diamond on the front and a diamond on the back. And God gave me this symbol, and I put it on a book about 7 years ago. So anyway, he told me actually the two diamonds was, if you have four of them, is the pyramid. Well, I've been dealing with what he wanted me to do with the pyramid. So I turned the diamonds around, inverted them, and made the Star of David.
Wow.
So for my sister, for Christmas, I just didn't have time to go do much. And so I thought, well, I'll just make her a Christmas card. And I'll take this inverted diamond, and I'll make the Star of David, and I'll make her a Christmas card. So I'm making this Christmas card, and I put run down at Kinko's and had it run off and had it laminated and so forth. But what I had done before that was I thought, oh, I wish I had some gold leafing, but I didn't have time to run the store, but I knew I had gold leafing spray. So I took this card out in the backyard and sprayed it, and I wanted it just bubbled up and run, and I thought, oh, my goodness, well, I'll just use the top of the card then and cut the bottom part off. That's my thought pattern going on. And all of a sudden I hear, don't cut it off. I said, don't cut it off? Don't cut it off. I said, okay, I won't cut it off. So I put the magnet on it and sent it off to her. And I called her to see how she liked her Christmas card. And she says, well, I can't hang it on the refrigerator like you wanted me to. And I said, why not? She's well, then the people on it are upside down. I said,
people?
What people? Now, knowing the members of my family, you know, she could see people in it that maybe I didn't see. And so I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what people you're talking about. She says, well, the card has people in it. Now, go get yours and look at it. So I go and get it, and I turn it upside down. Sure enough, that bubbled and ran down. It's clear, Mary and Joseph and Christ, and it looks like, to me, a wise man walking away with an animal by it. And
that's extraordinary.
So everybody that has seen it keeps saying, can I have one of those? So what we ended up was taking the magnet off, and of course putting it on the right side. But what I've been doing is calling the Christ consciousness. And you just look at it and then do manifesting with it. So
wow.
It's been a real joy for people to have that, because I certainly didn't do it. You know, I might have done the physical part, but I certainly was divine intervention with that because it's just as plain as it can be. And the gold leafing ran just to make those figures. It's just,
I love,
you know,
stories
it's
like
kind
that.
Of like your angel, you know?
Yeah.
We didn't do it. It's that divine intervention. So if anybody wants one of them, they just have to let me know and I'll send them one.
I love it, Charlene. That's a beautiful story.
I was just going to say it. It's one of those things where you recognize that you were divinely directed and you didn't know it. I didn't even know it until she said you can't have the people upside down.
I saw a news story on the internet, and it was someplace in Mexico, I believe, where somebody was making pancakes, and the image came up with a pancake of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And they showed the picture, and I mean, it was very clear it was Our Lady of Guadalupe in this pancake.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because I've shown other people, not said a thing about the card, and just said something about the card, and they'll say, well, that looks to me like Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And I said, well, that's what everybody's saying.
So you sort of think this is little reminders. We have a caller. Let's try and get him in before we go off the air. And your name, please.
Hi, it's Pat.
Hi, Pat. What can we do for you, dear?
Just heard both your voices. Glad to hear you both. Then anything, just wanted to say hi. Hi, Charlene.
Hi, Pat.
Both of you have been helping me manifest a partner.
Oh, yes. A manifest a partner?
Yeah.
Have you manifested them yet?
Actually, I manifested one I thought was perfect, and then I realized it's not perfect at all. This is an interesting lesson. I'm not sure what the person is. Someone that seemed perfect would probably not be perfect at all. I think I'm supposed to learn about myself and to maybe be
cautious. You know, they're willing to help us find that true.
I'm sorry?
Can I mention something to Pat? Have you written a list of all of the attributes that you would like to see in this partner that you want to manifest?
I did.
Did this person that you manifested, did they have those attributes? I think we lost her.
I think so, too. It sounded like there was interference.
Well, what I want to mention about that is, since we're talking about manifesting a partner, because it is important for a lot of people, and we've talked about this in the past, Charlene, where when you manifest, you must be very precise as to what you're looking for. And when you make a list of all of these attributes of a partner that you would like to see in this partner, you have to be very specific. And it is amazing when people do this, how they really do attract what they put out. And so it's important to understand what you're looking for. Because if you don't understand exactly what you're looking for and what pleases you, and see, there you have to understand yourself. You have to understand yourself, well, what do I want in a partner? What am I like? What will make me happy? And if you don't understand yourself, it's going to be hard attracting someone that's going to please you and have companionship with and be cooperative with. So you have to understand yourself. You have to know what you're looking for. If you write it down and you're very precise and you send it out to the universe, that will come back to you. And who is this calling in?
This is Pat again. I got disconnected. I think.
Sorry, Pat.
That's okay. I think it's Mercury retrograde.
is that what it is?
It's. I couldn't get through on the main line anyway, so I think it's hard to get through to you today. So I didn't really hear anything. What I found was that there are a lot of negative traits that I need to be wary of. If I use my intuition and thought about this person, I think it might be have been controlling and needy, and maybe sort of more macho than I had realized. You know, a lot of negative stuff that the only thing I could figure out is that maybe I need to be more sort of assertive with myself in my own conversation as far as what I need and deserve. And I also cut it off early, and I realized I tend not to do that. I try to be too nice and then end up angry. So I had to communicate twice right away that, no, this isn't right. But anyway,
okay.
That can be
what we were talking about at when you were disconnected was how precise we have to be in the person that we're attracting. In other words, what attitudes does this person have that we want to attract? So in your list, see, you've already found some things that you don't like. You need to put that, incorporate that in your list.
Well, I was wondering, is it okay to say, I don't want this and I don't want that? Because
no, you can't say that.
Yeah.
Because the subconscious can't reason don't.
Right.
Whatever you say after don't becomes reality.
Right. That's what I thought.
Okay.
But
so
you
don't
can express it in another way.
Well, yeah, I did, but I think these things are just sort of like really specific. I did, you know, I did want a very positive person and a very kind person, and well, anyway, you're right.
How about attracting someone who honors the feminine aspect? In other words, you had somebody that you thought was macho, where you perhaps wanted somebody who would honor the divine feminine in you.
Well, you know what? It's the thing is that the whole thing was that I guess I saw that people can be really tricky. This person came off very feminine, very understanding, and is. But I think the shadow side brings in problems that he's struggling with that, in looking at it, I realize would be put on me.
That was very perceptive of you.
Well, maybe that's the lesson, because I usually don't let myself be perceptive. I usually just kind of go with it.
Yeah, see, that was one thing that you ended up having manifested, was the fact that you are more aware.
Okay.
Remember what that we put that in? That you become more aware of what the other person's intent is.
Hey,
right.
Pat, we're up to the hour, darling.
Well, thank
we
you. I love you both.
Air.
I love
Call
you both.
Call back again.
I will.
And we can continue this.
I will. Okay. Take care and happy holidays.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Love you all. I'll be with you tomorrow. And Charlene will be with us not next Saturday, but the Saturday after. Goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye. Love you.